From 90.9 WBUR, this is a special live edition of Radio Boston. I'm Megan Chakrabarty.
And I'm Boston Globe political reporter Joshua Miller.
Well, as you can hear, we are broadcasting live from the McCormick Theater on the campus of UMass Boston. This November, Massachusetts voters will decide on four statewide ballot questions. So in order to dive deep into the issues, we've been hosting our Election Ballot Debate Series, a joint project between WBUR, the McCormick Graduate School at UMass Boston, and the Boston Globe. This is the final debate in our four-week series, and it's on one of the most contentious items on the ballot. Question four, the proposal to legalize and tax marijuana in Massachusetts. But first, before we get into the debate, joining us is the Dean of the John W. McCormick Graduate School of Policy and Global Studies, David W. Cash. Dean Cash, welcome and thank you so much.
Thank you, Meghna and Josh, for moderating this important debate. Good afternoon and welcome to the John W. McCormick Graduate School of Policy and Global Studies at UMass Boston, this capital city's public research university. The McCormick Graduate School, along with our co-host, WBUR, and the Boston Globe, are delighted to welcome you. And also a special thanks to today's debaters. You'll hear more about them in a minute. Ballot initiatives are one of the most direct ways that voters get to set policy. There's no electoral college. Your preferences are not translated through a representative of any kind. And your vote is direct. It's an important right here in Massachusetts and a sacred civic responsibility. About half the states in the United States offers ballot initiatives. And as is happening here, they spark civic discussions about issues that directly impact people's lives and their communities. This topic has engaged voters, state and federal lawmakers, government agencies around the country. Legalizing recreational marijuana touches on many issues, ranging from public safety and crime, to individual freedom, to criminal justice, to tax revenues, to parenting, to health care, to the role of government. I look forward to seeing how these issues and others will be discussed today. And now, I'll turn it over to Meghna and Josh.
Thank you so much, Dean Cash. Well, first, let's set up this debate. And in order to do so, let's hear from WBUR reporter Martha Biebinger about exactly what question four means.
You'll find a package store on the main street of most cities and towns in Massachusetts. Picture the one near you. Now change the sign, swap the bottles and cans inside for jars of marijuana, drinks, and pot brownies, and you'll get a sense of the transformation a yes vote would usher in. Here's Will Lazier, campaign manager for the ballot question that would make pot legal.
It would regulate all aspects of marijuana commerce, packaging, retailing, and set the regulations for the basic standards for the industry.
That's everything. Who grows marijuana, where, and how much? Who tests it for lead or other contaminants? Who turns it into chocolate bars, smoothies, or capsules? A new three-member cannabis control commission would license businesses in all of these areas, as well as the stores where weed and related products would be sold. Supporters say the idea is to regulate marijuana the way we do alcohol. So I've asked Mr. Lazier to meet me here at Save More Liquors in Somerville.
There are a lot of products here. I seriously doubt if there will be the kinds of products that we have here, although the kinds of products that are available are only limited by the botanists who are able to grow different strains of marijuana.
Jars of dried weed would likely be behind a counter. Customers might wander down aisles of pipes or lotions or past refrigerated cases of pizza or cookies.
So I'm going to get a bottle of red.
Oh, you want to get this?
Yeah.
At the checkout counter of a marijuana store, buyers would pay a 12% tax. That's the state sales tax of 6.25%, plus 3.75% to fund the new Cannabis Control Commission, plus 2% for the local city or town.
12% would be less than half Colorado's, the next lowest effective tax rate.
McLean Hospital psychiatrist Kevin Hill is the author of Marijuana, the Unbiased Truth About the World's Most Popular Weed.
Why not tax it at an appropriate rate in order to maximize the ability to provide some services that we're lacking?
Lazier says the lower rate would keep legal marijuana closer to the price of pot on the black market.
Back at the liquor store, I leave with Lazier and ask about the limits on legal purchases.
If you walk out of here, you're in public. So you can only have an ounce in public or 5 grams of concentrate.
But I could have more than that in my home.
Yes, you could. You could have up to 10 ounces in your home so long as 9 ounces of it are locked. And you can also have home grow.
And that's 6 plants for an individual, 12 per household?
That's right.
The law would not allow anyone to consume marijuana in public. But it would be hard to tell if that woman on the park bench is eating a pot or regular brownie.
This is an enormous enforcement challenge for local law officials on a couple of different fronts.
Julie Jacobson is the town manager in Auburn and a member of the policy committee for the Massachusetts Municipal Association, which is opposed to ballot question 4. Cities and towns would have to allow marijuana stores unless a majority of residents in a local referendum approved a ban. It would also take a local vote to limit the number of stores. And the new Cannabis Control Commission would be able to license marijuana bars and individual events similar to a wine tasting, both of which worry Jacobson.
I don't know what kind of controls, if any, the police or the Board of Selectmen in any community or city council would have over issuing licenses for events.
There are lots of details that could be worked out if the ballot question passes and state officials draft regulations. But that's a glance at the proposed mechanics for making marijuana legal in Massachusetts.
That report from WBUR's Martha Biebinger. Well, it's time for the debate. Now, as we've done with each of these ballot questions, we asked the two groups leading efforts on either side of question 4 to offer their chosen representative to be with us today. Representing yes on 4, they support legalization, we have Jim Borgasani, Communications Director for Yes on 4. Welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Maggie.
And representing the campaign for a safe and healthy Massachusetts, which opposes the question, we have Massachusetts State Senator Jason Lewis. He's also co-chair of the legislature's Public Health Committee and chair of the Special Senate Committee on Marijuana. Senator Lewis, thank you for being with us
today. Thank you, Becca, and thank you, Josh.
Before we begin, a few ground rules. We're breaking up this debate into two segments, economics, then health. We'll spend 20 minutes on each of these topics. Participants will have 1 minute to respond to each question from Meghna and me, and 1 minute to rebut when necessary. Our colleague is sitting in the audience, and he'll raise a green paper to mark 15 seconds left and a red paper to mark when the 1 minute response time is up.
Senator Lewis and Mr. Borgasani will each have a 45-second closing statement at the end of this debate. Now, listeners, there are several ways you can participate. We are broadcasting a Facebook Live feed of today's event. That's at facebook.com/radioboston. You can watch the feed there and submit questions or take part in the conversation. We're also taking questions and comments via Twitter. Use the hashtag MAballots. That's ballots with an S. Okay, so let's get started. Our first topic, we're going to spend the first half of this debate talking about the economics of legalization. And the first question goes to Mr. Borgasani of Yes on 4. Now, as you already know, marijuana has already been decriminalized here in Massachusetts. That means no one faces criminal penalties for smoking or possessing an ounce or less of pot. And almost no one faces incarceration for possession of more than an ounce. State trial court data for fiscal year 13 show that just 4 people received a sentence for incarceration for that fiscal year. And also, marijuana is already legal for medical use in Massachusetts. So why do we need full legalization?
Well, we need full legalization because prohibition has failed. It has failed to keep marijuana out of our community. It has failed to keep marijuana out of the hands of our young people. And it has cost law enforcement and society millions and millions of dollars to enforce. We need to end prohibition and replace it with a taxed and regulated system and finally control marijuana in Massachusetts. We have seen numerous instances. For instance, in the medical program, you say we have a medical system in Massachusetts, but we have medical laws. We really don't have a functioning medical system at this point. We have 7 dispensaries in the entire state. People have to travel 50, 60, 70 miles to get the preferred medicine of their choice. You cannot send a spouse or a son or a neighbor to get your prescription. You have to go yourself. We think that has to change. We think that people should be able to get access to the medicine of their choice, and we think that by passing this, it would help them do that.
Senator Lewis, would you like to respond?
Thank you. I want to thank WBUR, the Boston Globe, and UMass Boston for hosting this important conversation. As you said, Meghna, in the question, virtually no one is being arrested today for possession of marijuana, and it is costing us very little to enforce the existing marijuana laws because our law enforcement has better things to do than go after people who are simply possessing or using marijuana. What this ballot question is really about is not about whether an adult can use marijuana in their own home. No one's bothering them today. What this is really about is commercializing big marijuana in Massachusetts. This ballot question is written by and for the marijuana industry, and unfortunately, it puts their profits ahead of the health and safety of our children and our communities. This ballot question is about commercialization. It's about marketing high-potency pot edibles. I'm sure we'll talk more about that. It's about the proliferation of pot shops in all of our communities. That's what this is really about.
I want to press you on that a little bit about what Jim said. If the goal here is to, Jim talked about ending prohibition. I'm wondering if you can speak to whether you think the prohibition has worked over the course of time. I mean, if the goal of prohibition was to keep people from using it, it obviously hadn't worked. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Well, again, what we will be voting on November 8th is not the concept of legalization. And I know many people are open to legalization of marijuana. What we're actually going to be voting on is a very specific proposal. And as was covered by Martha Biebinger in the opening, it's a 24-page specific proposal. And we believe that it goes way too far and, unfortunately, is deeply, deeply flawed. And again, that's not a big surprise because it was written by the Marijuana Policy Project, which is backed by the marijuana industry. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. And they have written it so that it's great for them to, you know, proliferate in this state and make money, but they have not written it to protect public health and public safety.
I press you one more time. Do you acknowledge that there are profound societal costs to having criminals be in control of the sale of a widely used recreational drug?
What I would say is, and I think we'd all agree, the status quo is far from perfect, but what we're voting on is a specific proposal to commercialize marijuana in Massachusetts. The authors of this ballot question made specific decisions about, for example, authorizing the sale and aggressive promotion of high-potency pot edibles like gummy bears, ice cream, chocolates, and other things. They didn't have to do that. They made an explicit decision not to address at all the issue of stone drivers, which is a major public safety hazard, not addressed in this ballot question. They made an explicit decision to take away control from our local cities and towns and to essentially force them to have marijuana cultivation facilities, manufacturers, and grow facilities in their communities and make it very difficult to opt out of that system.
What we are just hearing now is our opposition looking at a failed policy. He just admitted it's a failed policy, and their prescription is to do nothing. We say, let's look at 100 years of failure and do something about it. And we say that something is to actually make it a safe market so that we can put the 900,000 to a million regular marijuana users into a commerce system where they can buy product that is tested, where they buy it in stores that they check IDs, the stores that are licensed, that are tax-paying, and that fit the overall regulations that will be set by the Cannabis Control Commission. This Cannabis Control Commission, the Senator may not understand how regulated systems work. We give the regulators all the power in this initiative. If it was an industry initiative, we would have given the regulators orders. Instead, we're giving them an open field to set regulations any way they want, and we think they will. We think they will learn from other states, and they will put forward probably the most stringent regulatory system in the nation of Massachusetts.
So regulation and revenue are two of the main points that supporters of Question 4 frequently point to. You just talked about regulation. I want to ask you about the revenue side of the argument, because obviously we have other states to look at that have led the way on this. For example, Colorado and Washington, they both legalized marijuana, but with much, much higher effective tax rates than proposed here in Massachusetts, 25% in Colorado and 44% in the state of Washington. And I want to play a little bit of tape here for you because we talked to Chris Stifler, analyst with the Colorado Fiscal Institute, and he says that the $80 million in taxes collected during the first year of marijuana legalization in Colorado, that's fiscal year 2014-2015, that was less than 1% of the state's general fund. And he says Coloradans are disappointed who expected more revenue. So let's listen.
They want to know why they're not getting new schools, why they're not getting more teachers, why they're not getting better roads, because they were promised so many marijuana dollars was going to fix and basically pay for a lot of things that really drive their communities.
Now, regarding our question on revenues, I'm actually going to turn to Kate Riley, MPA student here at the McCormick Graduate School at UMass.
The proposed 3.75% excise tax is comparatively low, and critics maintain it won't cover the administrative and social costs of legalization. So why not start with a higher tax and make it easier on legislators in the future to potentially lower it like they are now doing in Colorado?
Well, we think that the tax rate that we set is absolutely sufficient to fund the administration of our initiative and to return money to the taxpayers. In Colorado, in 2015, calendar year 2015, they pulled in $113 million just from adult recreational sales. $35 million of that went to schools. Nobody ever said they were going to build entire new schools. They have done roofing projects, boiling projects, technology projects. There's lots of money going to schools in Colorado. This year, they expect more than $50 million to go to schools. Now, the 3.75% excise tax on $1 billion worth of sales by the year 2020, which is exactly what the ArcView Consulting Report said would happen, and they've been right on the money on every other state, that would give the state $37.5 million just for the administration of our program. By comparison, the Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission oversees about 20,000 licenses. They have a budget of $2.2 million. There would be sufficient money to fund the initiative and to return money to taxpayers.
Well, Jim Borgasani, let me press you on that, though, because Governor Charlie Baker, Attorney General Maura Healey, and Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, all of whom oppose Question 4, as you well know,
yes,
they issued a joint statement saying that, quote, here in Massachusetts, we face the possibility that any new revenue would be vastly insufficient to cover the cost of ambulance rides, emergency room visits, and treatments. And those are just the hard costs. So they dispute the fact that your assertion that the $36 million or so would cover the new costs associated with legalization.
We have not seen increased public safety costs in any other legal state. It has not happened. We have not seen increased ambulance rides. And by the way, ambulance rides are covered by insurance, and Massachusetts has the highest or the lowest amount of uninsured people in the state. So there's not going to be an extra cost for ambulance rides. That's just sort of alarmist rhetoric that we've seen from our opponents over and over again. We have not seen increased social costs. We have not seen increased public safety costs. Nowhere in any state. What we have seen is actually reduced law enforcement costs and tax revenues coming in that have helped, again, with schools, with treatment, with education programs. So we've seen a net gain for those states. We will not see a net loss for this, and it's irresponsible of the governor and the mayor to say that.
Jason, I want to give you a chance to cut in here.
Thank you. What is irresponsible is this tax rate. And it's not a surprise it was so low. Again, this ballot question was written by the marijuana industry for their interests, and they want to keep the rate low. In Colorado, they've even, as we heard, have not lived up to the promise, the fool's gold, that this would pay for schools and roads. And you know what? In Massachusetts, under this ballot question, it'll be far worse because the tax rate is a half of what it is in Colorado and a third, by the way, of what it is in Washington State. And we don't tax medical marijuana in Massachusetts, so the numbers in Colorado include medical marijuana as well, which we are not proposing to tax. So we will be in a situation where these revenues, according to the analysis of the Special Senate Committee that looked closely at this, is unlikely to even cover the direct costs to set up a regulatory structure, to enforce that structure, the direct public health costs, the public safety training, developing a breathalyzer equivalent test, which doesn't exist today on our roads. So this will not generate any revenue to help our schools or fix the T or anything else. In fact, it's likely to be a money loser for us, and that doesn't even include all the soft, intangible costs of increased health issues and the social, full social costs of increased marijuana.
Very briefly, please.
Yeah, briefly. I just want to address two things. Senator Lewis keeps saying that this is an industry initiative. In fact, this was modeled on a bill that was filed by a representative from Cambridge. It was two longtime marijuana activists in Massachusetts helped write the bill. They're not in the industry. They're attorneys. This is an adaptation of that bill, pretty much the same thing. I was in the room with the drafters. Senator Lewis has no idea who was in that room. It was Massachusetts residents writing the bill for Massachusetts residents. And the second thing I want to point out, that the economic analysis of Senator Lewis's committee, Senator Lewis's own chief of staff called that economic analysis an amateur economic effort with back-of-the-envelope type calculations. Now, nobody should be paying any attention to the economic analysis in that report when the Senator's own chief of staff derided it.
Thank you, Joe. That is completely misleading. This ballot question is not written by the citizens of Massachusetts. It's the same ballot question that is on the ballot roughly in six states in November, five others in addition to Massachusetts. It's written by the Marijuana Policy Project, the CEO of Dixie Elixirs, who makes strawberry lemonade marijuana beverage and chocolate-covered marijuana pretzels, is behind that, along with ArcView Investments, which is a company making money in this industry, and others like it. I wanted to go back for a minute, if I could, Josh. I don't know if we're coming back to the regulations, because there's a misconception here. There's a misconception here that all of this will get taken care of and will be regulated by the so-called Cannabis Control Commission. And we should be under no illusion that this Cannabis Control Commission will be protecting public health and safety of our kids and communities.
That's an insult to the Treasurer of Massachusetts.
Let me explain, please. The first thing is that this three-member commission does not necessarily have to have any public health or safety expertise. Second, according to the ballot question, they are to be advised on regulations by an advisory board, 9 out of 15 of whose members have to have industry experience, have to come from the industry. Talk about the fox guarding the hen house. And third, even if they are able to try to put through strong regulations, the industry has written a loophole into this which says if the regulation is impractical by the industry, then it would be deemed invalid. So
that's
we should have
true.
No, no assurance
Senator Lewis,
whatsoever.
I'm going to ask you to stop there because you're a little bit over time. And I will give you, Mr. Borgasani, a couple seconds here to answer, but we have a lot of other aspects of this question we want to move on to.
We structured this bill on the same regulatory structure that is in effect for every other industry in Massachusetts, the construction industry, the banking industry, the cosmetics industry, the beauty industry. They all have regulators. Those regulators set the regulations, and the industry follows them. It's absolutely not true what Jason Lewis said. And it's an insult, by the way, to the Treasurer of Massachusetts, who would be appointing the Cannabis Control Commission, just like she appoints the commission that oversees the Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission. And they have
That's a good point for us to jump off on.
The Treasurer is also opposed to this ballot question.
If we can continue,
which
Jim,
is more reason why she would make sure that the regulator she appoints would not run over her.
You spoke about alcohol. Your coalition was originally called the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol,
yes.
And I know proponents of legalization have made a lot of comparisons to alcohol, but alcohol causes untold societal ills, from drunk driving deaths to families being ripped apart by alcoholism. Why propose that model to legalize this drug?
For the administrative structure. We're not saying that we want people to use marijuana less. We're not saying that marijuana should be compared to alcohol at all, except in the system that regulates it in Massachusetts. And that's why we're putting forward a system that, again, is under the Treasurer, just like the Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission is, that is regulated by a board who has expertise in the industry, just like the Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission, and they will be the ones who will tell the industry what to do. So our comparison when it comes to alcohol is just to use a regulatory structure that has, by and large, worked pretty well in Massachusetts. The legislature, back after prohibition ended, had to come up with a regulatory system. This is what they chose, the Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission. They gave them complete authority for licensing, for writing all the regulations about the industry, just like we're giving the Cannabis Control Commission the full authority to determine everything that's sold, how it's packaged, how it is marketed. So we think that the structure that exists is a very, very good one to copy.
Senator Lewis, would you like to respond?
Well, I disagree. I think, you know, we're obviously not going to go back to prohibition, but we should learn lessons from alcohol. Alcohol, as you said, Josh, in your question, takes an enormous toll on our society in terms of drunk driving, in terms of domestic violence, in terms of alcoholism. It's a huge cost, far more cost to society than any tax revenues we bring in. We should learn a lesson from that. Rather than going down that same path, we should take a different approach when it comes to marijuana And we should not commercialize this product. We should not create a profit motive for businesses to try to promote, aggressively promote consumption of these high-potency marijuana products. I'll tell you, there's one product I saw when I was out in Colorado that a marijuana business proudly showed me that they had engineered, which they called Incognito. This was basically a marijuana vape pen, which is like an electronic cigarette, with very high-potency marijuana that gets vaporized and has no odor. They had engineered the odor right out of it. Perfect product for high school students to use, where no one would even know, no teacher or principal would know that they're using it. This is the kind of product the industry is producing in Colorado. That's what's coming to Massachusetts if this ballot question passes.
So, Jim Borgasani, let me ask you, because I'm still taken by that $1 billion number that you put out in revenues by 2020. Mm-hmm. If the state's only taking 12% of that, the industry then is taking 88% of that, so effectively $880 million in revenue. So if we're regulating marijuana like alcohol and allowing advertising, like we do with the alcohol industry, aren't we essentially building at least an $880 million annual industry with a powerful lobby to fight regulation and taxation in Massachusetts?
Well, first of all, exactly. I wouldn't assume that the advertising is going to be similar to what is in alcohol. The advertising...
Oh, and why not?
Because the advertising requirements haven't been set yet by the Cannabis Control Commission. We already, in our initiative, we have that no marketing in any way can be directed toward children. In Colorado right now, there is no TV advertising. There are no billboards. I think that the Cannabis Control Commission is going to look at the advertising structure in other states, and they're going to say, we're going to learn from that. So I don't think it's right to assume that there'll be whatever kind of advertising that will be, because it hasn't been determined yet. And I think the Cannabis Control Commission is going to be very vigilant about, you know, advertising that will be in any way directed toward children or anybody else who, you know, should not take the message that the advertisements might purvey, which we don't think will be much, frankly. So I think that the money that is going to be generated is going to be sufficient to cover all of the costs. And yes, I don't know how you take money out of the hands of criminals and put it into a structured, licensed system without creating an industry. You know, that's what it's capitalism. As long as it's regulated like any other industry in Massachusetts, I think that will be sufficient. That's a model that Canada is going to use, for instance. It's a model that is working in all of the other states.
Just to press on her question, isn't the industry going to push back against more regulation, which could hamper its profits? I didn't hear an answer to that.
You know, it's hypothetical. I don't think that the industry, they can try to push back, but, you know, every other industry tries to push back in Massachusetts, too. What would the difference be? I don't think the cannabis industry is going to be solved. All powerful, that they're going to have abilities that other industries in Massachusetts don't have right now.
The critical difference, Josh, is these limits and reasonable restrictions and protection of our kids and communities should be written into the law. It shouldn't be left up to these faceless bureaucrats who may not have any public health or public safety expertise down the road to try to figure this out with, as you rightly point out, a billion-dollar industry lobbying them to make sure that they don't do anything to diminish their profits. So that should be written into the ballot question. This ballot question does not write in any restrictions on TV advertising, radio, billboards, social media. And if you think that won't be aimed at teens, just look at what the alcohol and tobacco industry do. Their kids or teens are going to see the billboards that are going to be up in our communities. They will see the stuff on TV. They will certainly see it all over social media. And this ballot question does not prevent that from happening.
So I'm going to jump in here, because I think all of these questions, but especially question four, are a lesson to voters to read what's in the ballot question, regardless of your point of view, because when you do, Jim Borgasani, you find certain things, such as the Globe has pointed out, because they had a great story yesterday just on the fact that many Massachusetts towns have voted against opening medical marijuana dispensaries in their communities following the legalization of medical marijuana here in 2012. And with question four, cities and towns would be automatically opted in to having, you know, pot shops, testing, grow facilities in their municipalities. And they would have to actively put it to a local vote in order to opt out, which is different from Colorado, I understand, because communities there must opt in. So The ballot question is written to effectively make a blanket choice for all Massachusetts communities. Why not have opt-in here as well?
Well, for one thing, you didn't mention that selectmen or whatever the ultimate form of government is in a community can limit marijuana facilities to 20% of the existing package stores in a town right off the bat. So it doesn't take a ballot vote to do that. So automatically there are restrictions built in that can be just voted in by the selectmen or by a mayor, automatically 20%. So if your town has 10 package stores, they can limit it on their own to 2 marijuana establishments. A vote of the people could prohibit marijuana establishments altogether. A simple vote, a simple ballot vote. So we think that that is significant local control. In Colorado, yes, they do have a different system, but we think this system is in keeping with other regulatory agencies that are operating in Massachusetts. And we think that the towns, by the way, what we're seeing also, we think it's unfair that medical marijuana was passed overwhelmingly in 2012, and we're seeing selectmen on their own being able to block a medical marijuana facility from coming into a town when the people of their towns probably voted to allow medical marijuana.
I want to give Senator Lewis a chance
to respond here. I'm so glad you brought this up. This is a huge, huge issue. And this ballot question is written explicitly to take away control from our communities and our homeowners. And it was written that way because in Colorado, about two-thirds of the counties and communities never opted in. So the industry learned from that and said, we got to make sure we force all of Massachusetts cities and towns, if at all possible, to host pot shops and other marijuana businesses. So this isn't like medical marijuana where a community has to choose explicitly to have a dispensary in the community. This is not like the state's casino law that we passed several years ago where, again, a community has to explicitly give authorization to have a casino, and it's not the way Colorado's law is written. So our cities and towns will find that if this passes November 8th, they'll wake up the next day, and they will find that there will be marijuana businesses, pot shops, as well as cultivation and manufacturing facilities proliferating throughout the Commonwealth. And even if they were to try to have a local voter referendum, which is onerous and costly, they still would not be able to prevent home growing from taking place in their community, which will feed a whole new black market, or medical dispensaries that already exist from going into the recreational market. So
Jim,
this is a huge issue.
Jim, I want to jump off that. Okay. The proposal allows for people to home grow marijuana up to 12 plants per household.
Correct.
One of the biggest problems in Colorado, officials there tell me, is that people illegally grow marijuana at home and then illegally divert that to the black market, to other states. Why did you include this home grow provision, and how do you guard against that serious problem? What some officials in Colorado say is the most serious problem of legalization there?
Well, two things. We included the home grow provision because it, again, reflects what is allowed in Massachusetts with home brew. You can brew your own beer in Massachusetts at home. You can brew your own wine in Massachusetts at home. We think that with limited growth limits, that we think that Massachusetts residents should have the ability to do that. By the way,
12 plants is a lot of marijuana, isn't it?
I wish I could say that I was a grower of some kind, but I think that 12 plants, probably 6 per person, is, you know, it's enough maybe to keep their personal needs met. I think it's an insult to think that there's going to be a whole new criminal class that looks at something that's suddenly legal and says, I'm going to become a criminal and start selling marijuana because I can grow it in my house. It's not going to happen. I think it's an insult to the residents of Massachusetts. We think it's going to be a micro market by people who, you know, want to grow their own, perhaps are growing their own now, for all we know. And now they'll be able to do it legally. They have to keep it under lock and key. It cannot be visible by neighbors. So we think it's a very effective system that gives people the same rights they have now with beer and wine, the ability to brew in their own home.
Senator Lewis, I know you want to jump in here, but let me just remind folks listening and watching online that you are witnessing, whether through your ears or your eyes, a special edition of Radio Boston, live from the McCormick Auditorium at UMass Boston. And this is the final debate in our 4-part series on the Massachusetts ballot questions. And, of course, we're talking about question 4 today, the legalization and taxation of recreational marijuana in Massachusetts. And to remind everyone, the debate is sponsored by our partners at UMass Boston's McCormick Graduate School of Policy and Global Studies and the Boston Globe. And you've been hearing on the Yes on 4 side, Jim Borgasani, Communications Director for Yes on 4, and in opposition to question 4, State Senator Jason Lewis, representing a campaign for a safe and healthy Massachusetts. Now, I want us to move on together to issues of health regarding recreational marijuana. And as a reminder to both our debaters and everyone listening, we'll be asking you questions, and you have 1 minute to respond and 1 minute rebuttal. And so, Jim Borgasani, let me first ask you, because just today, the Massachusetts Medical Society and 10 other statewide physician groups came out against question four, against this legalization measure. The president of the Mass Medical Society said the initiative lacks any consideration for the public health and that, quote, physicians believe that its approval would simply be a big step backward for public health and safety in our state. So I'm just curious, this is Massachusetts. There are a lot of doctors here. What do you know that all these physicians don't?
Well, we know what other physicians are telling us who are backing our initiative, that they don't think that it's safe to send people into a market where they're buying product that hasn't been tested, that maybe include substance like fentanyl. We had an instance in Brockton where there was marijuana seized from somebody that was laced with fentanyl, a deadly substance. We don't think that it's probably proper for any doctor, for anybody who really cares about public health, to look at a system that's dominated by criminals who don't check IDs, who don't know what's in the product, and who are in complete control of the market to send citizens into the embrace of those criminals. Where is the public safety in that? We're saying let's look at this, the system that has failed for 100 years in keeping marijuana users safe, and whether we like it or not, there are marijuana users in Massachusetts. There always will be. So some physicians may look at that. I should point out that in California, the California Medical Society voted for their legalization initiative for this very reason, because they think that it's safer to have inspected product in a legal, regulated market.
Senator Lewis, you want to respond?
Thank you. Yes, so we have an unprecedented bipartisan coalition that has come together to oppose this question, and it's broad. They have different views on conceptually on legalization, but everyone agrees that this specific ballot question goes too far and is deeply flawed and wrong for Massachusetts. As you said, the Massachusetts Medical Society, which has looked carefully at this question, the Massachusetts pediatricians are publicly opposed, the Massachusetts substance abuse treatment experts, the behavioral health providers, the National Alliance on Mental Illness in Massachusetts is opposed to this. Our school nurses are opposed. Our superintendents have come out in public opposition. Our law enforcement across the board. Our Governor Baker, Attorney General Maura Healey, Mayor Walsh, our Mass Municipal Association. All of these groups, I can tell you, because I've talked with many of them, took a very, very close look at the details in this ballot question. They're deeply concerned about the high-potency pot edibles that will be aggressively promoted by this industry. They're very concerned about drug driving on our roads, which we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. I hope we will. And they're very concerned about the lack of control in our cities and towns. And home growing, by the way, is nothing like home brewing or growing tomato plants. This would allow people to essentially grow a mini pot farm worth tens of thousands of dollars, which would reduce property values, increase crime, and drive a whole new black market.
Time's up.
Thank you.
Jason, there are no known instances of direct death from a marijuana overdose. Multitudes of people have smoked marijuana in high school or college and gone on to lead successful lives. And at the broadest level, from my visits to these places, I've seen life has continued as it did before in the four states where voters have chosen legalization. What do you say to Jim and other folks who say you're engaging in scare tactics?
We're not engaging in scare tactics at all. We're pointing out the specific provisions in this 24-page ballot question that were written by and for the commercial marijuana industry. That's what we're pointing out here. There were decisions explicitly made about what would be allowed and what would not be allowed. And the only time the voters will have control is when they vote on November 8th. After that, it is out of our hands, and it is left up to the speculative future regulation, which may or may not protect public health and safety. So we need to make the decision based on what is written in here, and there is significant concern, which is why all of the doctors, pediatricians, mental health experts are opposed to this, because the kind of marijuana that's on the market today, which is extremely high potency, 10 times the potency of years past, has a very significant harmful impact on the developing brain. That's what we're concerned about, is teens. And teens who will now have more access to marijuana with aggressive advertising in pot shops in our neighborhoods, that use of marijuana at a young age will harm brain development, cognitive development, and
let me just jump in here.
Increases the risk of mental health.
Because the word potency has come up a couple times in this conversation, and so let's talk in more detail about that, because THC, the main psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, there is at least some evidence that its potency in available marijuana has increased. I'm seeing here from the University of Mississippi Potency Monitoring Project, which is funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, analyzed tens of thousands of marijuana samples confiscated by state and federal law enforcement agencies and found that the average potency of all seized cannabis has increased from 3.4% in 1993 to 8.8% in 2008. So the argument there that it is considerably stronger and more potent and therefore perhaps will have a greater impact on especially developing brains, even at the age of 21, which would be where legalization kicks in here in Massachusetts. So Jim, what's your response to that? That this isn't the sort of casual pot of the 1960s.
This is the same type of pot that's been in the market for 20 years. Now, if potency is increasing, it has been in Massachusetts for a long time. This potency didn't increase overnight last week or last month. We're not introducing anything to the market that doesn't already exist. It's already here. People are already using it to the extent that they wish to. And we still have not seen, despite this, you know, it's a fear tactic to talk about this potency. We have seen no increase in emergency room visits, no increase in driving while intoxicated with marijuana, none of that, even though there's, you know, if there is a potency increase. So we're not introducing anything to the market that isn't already here. Now, it is, I should point out that Jason Lewis talks about this coalition. These are the same people exactly who opposed medical marijuana in 2012 and who opposed decriminalization in 2008. This is not a new coalition. This is not principled. This is not principled opposition. This is the same opposition that comes up every time that there's a marijuana legalization of some kind initiative on the ballot. They all come together every time.
Senator Lewis, he's saying that you're not principled.
Well, I'm not even going to respond to that. Let's keep this focused on the issues. So the average potency actually in Colorado today is 18% THC. So that is six times, you know, what it was in decades past. And the industry has bred plants and also has engineered products where they extract the THC from the plant into waxes and shatter and hash oils that are now approaching 100% pure THC. In the Netherlands, where they've where it's not legal, but where they've been permissive about marijuana for a long time, they consider any marijuana products with a THC potency above 15% to be a hard drug. They make the distinction between a soft drug and a hard drug. So we're talking about a vastly different drug where the early health studies, because we've only seen this high potency in the last few years, the early health studies indicate it's much more serious in terms of its impact on the developing brain. And we are only starting to learn now what the consequences will be when we have 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds increasingly using high-potency marijuana lollipops, chocolates, gummy bears, and other products that this industry will be promoting and selling in Massachusetts.
That is a fear tactic right there. The assumption that 13 and 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds are going to use marijuana in an increased manner. That has not been borne out in any single legal state. In fact, in Colorado, the Healthy Kids Colorado survey, which is the largest survey of teenagers probably in the whole country, they do it in Colorado, teen use is absolutely flat since legalization. We have not seen teen use increase in any other state. In fact, nationally, despite 27 states having medical marijuana, 17 states with decriminalization laws and other sort of legalization efforts, we've seen teen use continually decline since 1997.
That's completely misleading.
That's not misleading at all. We have seen teen use decline. So it is a scare tactic to say that teen use is going to increase. It will not, and it has not.
Josh, may I respond to
that? I want to move on to another.
That's completely misleading.
Go ahead, very briefly, please.
In fact, federal data, which tracks usage across all states, showed a 12% increase since legalization in Colorado. And even if you put aside dueling studies, even if you want to put aside dueling studies, I ask you to, what does your common sense tell you? If you're going to have enticing marijuana-infused edibles sold all over the Commonwealth in pot shops with an unlimited number, aggressively advertised on TV, billboards, social media, what do you think is going to happen to consumption among our teens?
I wanted to talk about those edibles, Jim.
Yeah.
Marijuana-infused products like cookies, candies, soda, even bacon brittle, a marijuana-infused bacon brittle is sold in Colorado, would be legal under this proposed law. A recent study found an association between the legalization of recreational marijuana and increased hospital visits and cases at the Regional Poison Control Center of children suffering from unintentional exposure to marijuana. What can you say and what can you do to assure parents of toddlers that this ballot question won't put their kids at risk?
That's a great question. First of all, let's look at what already exists in Massachusetts. We already have a regulation on the medical marijuana side that says that no product can be sold that resembles in any way a commercially available product. So no edible product can be sold that resembles a candy bar, a commercially available candy bar, or gummy bears or anything else. We already have that in the books. We think that the Cannabis Control Commission will start at that regulation and get more stringent from there. They're going to look at Colorado, and Colorado, as you know, Josh, has already made gummy bears, gummy worms, any candy in the shape of an animal or a fruit or a person illegal. They're learning as they go. They were the first states to go, and yes, they made some missteps. There are good people in Colorado who don't want, you know, teens or toddlers hurt in any way, and they're taking steps to improve the system. There will be childproof packaging in Massachusetts. There will be labeling. There will be packaging that will be sufficient to let any parent know or anybody else know exactly what is in that package. So we think that the Cannabis Control Commission will take a very responsible approach to edibles.
Senator Lewis.
This ballot question, for example, doesn't even require even a health warning to be on this. So never mind Jim's claims about packaging and protection. Even if you put special packaging in place, once the product's removed, there is no way of distinguishing between a candy bar or a cookie or a cupcake or ice cream that has infused with high-potency THC versus one that is not. That's why we've seen accidental consumption by young children and pets, by the way, going up significantly in Colorado, and they have been absolutely visits to emergency rooms and calls to poison control centers. And as well for adults, in many cases, they don't know how much to consume because they think there's one serving in, let's say, a candy bar or a cookie, but it might actually be three servings, five servings. Colorado is desperately trying to get their arms around this and regulate it, but it's been 4 years now, and they're still struggling to deal with this. That's why this ballot question is so problematic for Massachusetts.
So, Senator Lewis, I want to talk for a moment about a slightly different health aspect here to legalizing marijuana, because many opponents of question four say they believe that marijuana is a great gateway drug to, you know, other drugs that someone may use later on, including opioids. Again, that's something that the opponents of question four frequently say. But on the other hand, there was a Journal of the American Medical Association study that was published in 2014 that found that rates of opioid overdose deaths actually were lower in states that had legalized a medical marijuana. Hang on, let me just ask this question, please. Between 1999 and 2010, and according to another study released this year, Medicare patients received fewer prescriptions for pain conditions that marijuana can alleviate as states adopted medical marijuana. So given the very important and laser-like focus that New England has on the opioid crisis, why not open up access to marijuana if it can indeed drop opioid overdose deaths?
So that study, that Magna, that you referenced, I think is from 2010. That was before any state had legalized and commercialized marijuana. So, and I don't believe it's been replicated since. For those people who do have chronic pain or another multiple sclerosis or cancer, they can get access today in Massachusetts to medical marijuana. We have a program that is expanding. If you cannot leave your home, if you have a disability, you can get home delivery through a caretaker. So we are already providing access in Massachusetts. In Colorado, they have seen a 350% increase in opioid overdose deaths over the last 5 years, 350% increase, and that is a greater rate of increase than the national average. So while they've been legalizing and actively commercializing marijuana, they've seen an increase up in opioid overdose deaths, and in fact have a very high rate of alcohol use, marijuana, and opioids. And that's why the Mass Medical Society, the pediatricians, substance abuse treatment prevention experts in Massachusetts are all against this ballot question because they believe commercializing marijuana is not the answer to our opioid epidemic.
Well, we do not have an effective medical marijuana system in Massachusetts. The study was from 2014. It has been replicated. It does show significant decrease in opioid deaths and opioid overdoses in a state that has a significant medical marijuana system. Jason Lewis opposed medical marijuana in 2012. The legislature has dragged their feet on improving this system. We think that a legal regulated system will help the patients in Massachusetts get the drug of their choice.
Well, We feel like we barely scratched the surface here, but time is running out. So each of you now have 45 seconds for a closing argument. And we flipped a coin before we started the show today. And so first we will hear from Jim Borgesani representing Yes on 4 for your closing statement.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Senator Lewis. Voters in November will have the ability to look at a system that has failed Massachusetts. They will have the ability to correct that system. We think that society should recognize public policy failures, and we think that society should endeavor to correct them. We are putting forward a strict, regulated system that will take sales and commerce away from criminals and put it into businesses, taxpaying licensed businesses under the control of state regulators and local authorities. We think that's the responsible choice of the voters of Massachusetts. We think this dangerous system that exists now must end. Thank you.
And the last word goes to State Senator Jason Lewis, representing the Campaign for a Safe and Healthy Massachusetts.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Even if you're open to legalization, this ballot question goes too far and is wrong for Massachusetts. It's written, unfortunately, by and for the commercial billion-dollar marijuana industry that puts their profits ahead of the health and safety of our kids and communities. It authorizes and will allow the industry to aggressively sell and promote high-potency pot edibles that are a risk to teens, young children, and pets. It offers no solution whatsoever for the public safety hazard of stoned drivers, and in Washington State, we've seen a doubling of fatalities caused by drug drivers, and it takes away control from our communities and our homeowners, allowing pot shops and other marijuana businesses to proliferate even against the will of a community all across our state. I urge the voters to vote no on question 4 on November 8th. Thank you.
Well, with that, we are out of time, and I'd like to extend a very deep thanks to our two debaters today, State Senator Jason Lewis, who sits on the Steering Committee Campaign for a Safe and Healthy Massachusetts. Senator Lewis, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
And Jim Borgesani, Communications Director for Yes on 4 and President of Prime Point Strategic Media. Thank you to both of you for being with us today.
Thank you.
For a vigorous conversation on a very important ballot question. I would also like to extend a special thank you to our partners at the Boston Globe, including my wonderful co-moderator here, Joshua Miller.
It was great to be here.
And to UMass Boston, particularly Dean David Cash, Dean of the John W. McCormick Graduate School of Policy and Global Studies. And again, thanks to the Globe as well. Thank you to all of you who came today. Thank you to everyone who's listened to all 4 of our debates on the ballot questions. And all I have to say is vote on November 8th. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.